Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I used to have this reoccurring nightmare as a kid. There would be a woman walking down my driveway. Sometimes she distorted herself, appearing as a sweet grandmotherly type. She would slowly come to my door and knock, but my whole family would be asleep, so she would let herself in. As she passed into my home and slowly up the stairs to my room, I would hear her opening each door in the hallway. I never knew what she was doing, but it always felt sinister. Once she finally got to the end of the hallway to my room, I would watch as the door quietly crept open before trying to hide under my blanket. I'd listen to her bare footsteps arriving up to my bedroom, and if I wasn't shocked into not moving, I might peek my head out to see the woman. But she was never there, standing above me. I'd usually be relieved for a moment, turning to go back to sleep, knowing it was just a bad dream. And when I'd turn, she would be there, sickly green with nappy hair and cataract eyes. She would be smiling, showing me her black gums and broken and missing teeth. The shock would usually wake me up and send me into a crying fit. It was also an ongoing problem. My mom would tend to try to coax me down for some time, but eventually she would end up shouting down the hallway that it's just a nightmare, it's not real. Knowing that there was little she could do to stop me from dreaming up things to scare myself. I was young then, but not enough to go waddling to her room to sleep next to her. I still remember when she told me I was getting too old for it, and I protested, asking if I could, at the very least, sleep on the floor. She didn't agree, but I still would from time to time, until she had to put an end to that, too. "You're getting too old for this. You know better than to let a bad dream scare you." We started a process of our own DIY therapy, little habits to help me during the night. And they worked for a while. I'd think happy thoughts and keep a radio on so that I wouldn't feel so alone in the room. We even got a lava lamp in place of a nightlight. Things were getting better, and then they got much worse. The woman from my dreams showed up as she usually did. Only this time, I heard the screams coming from my mother's room. And then, as she moved to my siblings' room, I'd hear them cry out in terror before being forced silent. It was different. She was never more than a presence. Never violent. Never. My door crept open as it always did. Only, I didn't hide. I stood up and shouted at her to get away. And when I didn't see her emerge, I felt for a second victorious. Then I heard a crashing as my lava lamp was knocked off my nightstand. The glass shattered, sending the waxy liquid spilling onto my carpet. I turned around to see the cold, decayed smile of the wretched woman. Chills ran down my spine. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. Fear paralyzed me. And in her dead eyes, I could make out something I'd never noticed before. Anger. I didn't wake up like I normally did. It was my first time experiencing sleep paralysis. I laid there, facing my nightstand for what felt like an eternity. It was confusing at first, until I realized I couldn't turn my head, that I couldn't blink or speak. There was an enormous sense of dread and panic coursing through me, I was stuck with the woman, and now she was forcing me to stay with her, even as I was trying to wake up. I felt tears forming in my eyes. I finally was able to wake up. I'm not sure what did it, but I immediately got up to run to my mom's room. But the second I swung my feet off my bed, I felt the piercing pain of a shard of glass in my foot. I looked down with wide eyes to see my lava lamp had fallen over in the night. "What's happening to me?" I asked my mom as she tended to my foot. "This might sting," she interrupted, pouring hydrogen peroxide on the flesh wound. I winced, but prided myself on not crying. My mother sighed heavily as she mulled over how to explain it to me. "Sweetheart, you have sleep terrors. I used to get them when I was your age, too. They're like nightmares, only worse. I'm sorry I didn't take you seriously before. I'll schedule an appointment and see if we can't get you some help, okay?" "But what about my lava lamp?" I asked her, trying my best not to remember the face of the wicked woman from the night before. "You must have knocked it over when you were shaking. It's okay. We'll get you another." She paused for a second. "We'll just keep it out of arm's reach this time." She smiled at me, and that was reassuring enough for me. At first, the doctors didn't think it would be a good idea to give me a medication at such a young age. My mom tried her best to help me get better sleep by changing my diet, putting up Christmas lights in my room for me. She even bought me those whale and rain sound CDs. It worked, but not for very long. The nightmares were changing. I didn't see the woman as often, but now it was someone else. He would only show up when I was awake. A man made up of shadows, wearing only a half-face mask that reminded me of the Phantom of the Opera. He would jump on my chest. I was a teenager by the time I had gotten used to my inability to sleep peacefully. I'd taken up smoking weed and avoiding falling asleep like I was a character in Nightmare on Elm Street. Anything I could do to calm my nerves and maybe not have to wake up drenched in sweat and screaming. It became so routine that it was just another part of life. And that, in a way, helped. Normal kids would get yelled at by their parents for staying awake until 3 a.m. playing video games, but not me. Not that it was ever something I ever really liked bragging about, even though my friends acted like it was. Then there was the night I got accepted into university. My mom was thrilled and threw me a party. It was a good night. I was happy about my future. I'd finally done it. All my hard work paying off. I'd finally get to move on and grow up like my siblings had before me. Nothing could bring me down. Until, of course, I went into my bedroom. I was exhausted and thought I'd just lay down and maybe, since I felt so good, I would actually be able to have one of those dreamless nights where nothing happened. I was wrong. The knocking started. It sounded so foreign to me at the time, like listening to a song you haven't heard in years, familiar, but forgotten. The wet, slopping bare footsteps slithered down the hallways, echoing louder off the raised ceiling of our stairwell, methodically creaking the floorboards beneath them with deliberate pace. I felt the air escape my room, the vacuum of the dark corners
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
coming, tearing away at my walls like claws rasping down a chalkboard. I was falling into a place far away, unknown and unseen. And as I fell, I took everything but the sound of rusted hinges creeping my bedroom door open.
Congratulations.
The voice echoed through the abysmal cathedral of all that was not. It bounced around me, the sound waves dancing along invisible walls, turning the words inside out. Kazoos went off, and balloons floated up from under my feet and in front of me. It was the only color to be seen in the black. They hung there in front of my face, mocking me. I stuck my finger out and pushed the balloon, only for it to pop. And out of the explosion, I watched a lava lamp fall to my feet and shatter. The glass shards spun out like they were on ice across the nothing. It shifted in an amoebic physicality, dripping onto itself and spreading incoherently. I couldn't look away. I can't look away. My hair stood up. There was something cold behind me. Something terrible. I tried to steady my breathing, tried to calm my nerves. I thought I'd escaped this. I thought. Her smile was a mile wide, each tooth splitting and cracked. The inky black muck hung and spilled from her gums, resembling spider webs. Her face was scabbing, pieces of flesh missing and relaxed with maggot-infested gapes and bubbling wounds. I was disturbed to my core, my blood turning to a thick sludge of ice. But this time was different. This time, I was angry. "Why are you doing this? Why me?" I screamed through gritted teeth. My mouth didn't move, but my words bellowed out into the void. They carried deep into the distance, stretching out into forever. But no answer came. The woman turned and started walking away. I wanted to ask where she was going, but I was mainly just glad she was gone. I sat down and looked around at the blackness. I felt abandoned, the fullness of the empty. I laid back and let myself sink and sail, fall and land. When I finally woke up, my room was just as dark. It took my eyes some time to distinguish the ridges of the shadows on my dresser and window from that of the endless emptiness. As I scanned down the blankets of my bed, I saw the masked man crouched by my feet, watching me. The shadow man bent over into an animalistic pounce and began his steady crawl up my leg. I could feel the stark cold of his palms as he lifted their mask to my face, staring at me with eyeless and translucent chill of it turned into pressure. "You can't hurt me. You're not real." I thought I was just thinking it to myself, but the phantom was listening, and through the blackness of its absent presence, it may as well have laughed in my face. Every neuron in my brain began firing off, sending panic signals to my amygdala and back. I forced my eyes closed as my blood became tea on a kettle, steaming out a high-pitched scream. And when I opened them, I popped. My nose let out a splat and began to gush with sticky red blood. The masked shadow was no longer above me, but the pressure was still there. I got up quickly, covering my face with my hand as I made my way out my room and to the bathroom, only for me to hear the faint sound of kazoos from behind me as I swung my door open. I took no time switching the lights on and stuffing my nose with tissue paper. I held my head back and felt the blood sliding down my throat. The pressure persisted and my head was beginning to ache. I was so tired and shocked, I began to sway as I held my nose, just as impatient as I was afraid to go back to my room. The blood started collecting. It was thick with mucus, and the sluggish congealation began sticking to my neck. I went to cough, but it clung. I felt the gagging sensation of being choked by my own bodily fluid. My coughs turned to dry heaves before I finally puked up the red wastes. Looking down into the toilet, I watched as my blood swirled and floated in the water, thin red lines billowing like smoke away from thicker black clots. It reminded me of the lava lamp. When I finally looked up into the mirror, I half expected the phantom to be behind me, maybe hiding just out of sight or behind the shower curtain. And even though I didn't see him, it didn't make me feel any better, as if he was just waiting for me to let my guard down. Yet still, I thought with my nose stuffy and head spinning, as bad as my night terrors had been my whole life, they'd never been like this. My therapist would later say it was all in my head, as they usually did, just with different words, that the mind is a powerful muscle, and how we can trick ourselves into believing and even feeling things that aren't there. They ended up prescribing me benzodiazepines, saying that the stress of moving out and going to school may have been intensifying my condition. My doctor even suggested looking into a CAT scan or EKG, whatever the hell that was. It was 2 weeks before I was to move into my dorm, a state school only an hour's drive from home. My mom pushed it hard, saying that state schools are cheaper for residents and that my scholarships would only work in state. One of my scholarships would only work in states, but regardless, I think I got what she was trying to say. That she didn't want me too far. Funny how I was dealt this hand. My brother was off studying in Colorado, having the time of his life, skiing and working part-time in a cultivation farm. My sister, on the other hand, abroad in Rome. And here I was, being prescribed downers, because moving an hour away was too much stress. Needless to say, if I did have anxiety, it was being replaced with depression, or at the very least, irritation. "Is this going to take long?" I asked my mom as she drove me to the hospital. "No, I don't think so. We'll probably spend more time in the waiting room than anything else." Great. I couldn't help but be frustrated about the whole event. Instead of going to the beach with my friends, I was going to some lab to lay on the cold metal slab, while some guys in lab suits and masks pointed lasers at my brain and stuck me with wires. It sounded cool in theory, almost sci-fi-esque, but in reality, it was a boring and pointless inconvenience. I knew just as well as my mom and everyone else that they wouldn't find anything. And even if they did, it's not like they would really be able to offer us any help. But with my medicine working overtime, it was what my psychiatrist had to recommend before increasing my dosage. We pulled into the empty parking lot. It wasn't outright vacant, but for a hospital, even one as small as this lab wing, it...
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It seemed strange for there to only be one other car.
"Are you sure this is the right place?"
"Yes."
"And we're on time?"
"Yep."
"It's the right day, right? The 21st?
"Yes," my mom snapped, clearly as displeased by the whole affair as myself. She had taken off work for this, but in my defense, I hadn't eaten or drank anything but water for the past 12 hours. We both got out of the sedan and made our way up towards the big puke-green doors leading in. They looked automatic, but weren't moving for us when we got close.
"Looks like they're closed," I was beginning to say, when they finally budged and slid for us.
We were met with a long hallway, tilted and offset by white paint and fluorescent light. It tinged and had the distinct hospital smell. like cheap soap covering up a pheromone of sickness or old. We made our way to the reception desk, to a woman probably about 30, wearing blue scrubs and a dangling face mask. She raised an eyebrow and continued to type on her computer as myself and my mother stood there. "Ahem," my mom said, clearing her throat, but the woman didn't budge from her work. "Have a seat. The technician will be ready to see you in a moment," she said without looking up. My mom was clearly taken aback by the inhumanity of it all. "Don't you need to check us in? My insurance?" "After," the woman snapped quickly, darting her eyes up before brandishing a fake smile. She then returns to typing, leaving the awkward pattering of fingers on keys hanging in the air between us. My mom and I walked over to the cheap plastic seats. They were low to the ground and rigid on my back. I felt like a helpless toddler looking up at the elevated receptionist in all her inconsideration. My mom shook her head and took her phone out as I looked up and down the hallways. The lab didn't seem right. It was too cold, too alien to be a place people would willingly work or go to. I'd always heard of people having a fear of hospitals, but I'd never had that. The lights were less unnatural there, the temperature a little warmer. There wasn't the buzz of electronics or the callousness of hallways lined in tile. Hell, they didn't even have a lobby. A door creaked open, a distinctly familiar sound that caught me by surprise. Before I could jump, I heard the soft voice of an elderly woman coming from emergence. "We're ready to see you now." I stood up and started walking towards the nurse, looking back to see my mom lifting her head. She began to stand up when the nurse spoke up. "We can't allow you inside the lab. It can affect the reading." Bewildered, my mother nodded and sat back down. After a dry swallow, I continued into the more lively part of the lab. There were low-light plants lining a sill in front of a mural of birds, butterflies, bees, and rabbits, frolicking in an open field. The nurse guided me down past the arch to two metallic doors painted with red polka dots the size of basketballs. It felt less cold and overly sanitized, more like the hospital I usually went to. "If you'd step in here, please." The nurse motioned me into a side room. It was lined with monitors and strange instruments, filling cabinets and a man in glasses who turned to smile as I entered. Standing, he reached for my hand. "Hello, I'm Dr. Webb. I'll be conducting your scan today. Are you excited?" He asked in a way a tired teacher trying to express liveliness might. It was a courtesy to cut the tension, which I'd be lying if I said I didn't appreciate. "If you wouldn't mind putting these on." He handed me a gown with balloons on it. "The bathrooms are right there. I suggest you use it, as we won't be able to interrupt the scan for you to go."
"Do you have a different gown I could wear?"
Yes. Sarah." Webb motioned, and the nurse turned and opened a file cabinet, revealing a blue baby apron for me.
"Thanks."
When I returned to the observation room, the nurse, Sarah, led me through the door and into the other room with the machine. I'd imagined something like a coffin that would close around me, but the machine resembled a giant donut that I'd be placing my head into.
"Now make sure you stay as still as possible, and movement can interfere with the scan. We may ask you some questions while you're there, and you'll be able to answer us then."
She then had me lay down on the thin table, adjusting my hands to place them by my sides. She then instructed me to hold my breath for 5 seconds and release heavily. Then again for 10, and again for 20. Once that was done, the scan was ready to begin.
"Also,"
she said as she was about to exit the testing room,
"try not to fall asleep."
Once she exited the room, I heard a mechanical sound, and the table I was on began to move my head into the donut. There was a radio static sound, and I heard the typing of keys. Webb asked if I could hear him okay, and I affirmed. Then there was a buzzing, and they started the process.
I was left staring at a metallic surface as the machine did its work. The doctor occasionally buzzed in to ask me if I was comfortable and feeling okay. Things were going along normally when I started to notice it. Black dots were forming in the corners of my eyes, and it felt like someone was watching me. Only not the doctors through their computers or window, but as if someone was in the room. Just then, there was the crackling of the comm as I expected the doctor to ask me how I was doing. Only the cracking of the incoming signal didn't stop. It wasn't interrupted by words or even the tapping of keys. It was just static at my eardrums. I knew they had told me not to talk, but I was worried now. "Hello? Is everything okay?" I asked, hearing the resonance of my voice bounce around the donut. But no answer came, just the white noise of displaced radio waves. "Hello?" The blood-curdling scream didn't come through the radio, but from behind the glass of the viewing window, and even then they were loud enough for me to hear. In a panic, I began to reach up around the donut to push myself out of the machine. No sooner had I begun than I felt the grip of a hand on my ankle, long nails biting into my flesh like dog's teeth. I was yanked like a rag doll and flung out of the machine and across the room, hitting my head on the opposite wall before collapsing in a crumple. I tried to stand, but before I could, I felt the foot behind me, kicking me down and into place. I felt the heel dig into my back and crack up my spine, keeping me from turning my head or fighting back in any way. With my face pressed against the cold linoleum of the lab floor, I wanted to see who...
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Who or what was doing this to me? I wanted to look out the window, see Dr. Webb and Nurse Sarah. I wanted to wake up. I felt the hand again grab me by the mane of my neck and lift me with supernatural ease. I had a chance now to turn to see the glass of the viewing room, but all I saw was splashes of shining red. I turned away quickly to see my feet elevated above the ground more than a foot.
This isn't real. You're not real.
I was dropped, released from the grasp of whatever was holding me, landing with a small thud to the floor, almost letting myself collapse. It would have been easier to go into a fetal position, but I knew better. I had to face this. I had to wake up. I slowly began to turn, but before I made the full rotation, the light's power stopped, and the light went out, leaving me and whatever was still here in the pitch black of a room the sunlight had never seen. It didn't stop turning, though. The dark wouldn't be enough to keep my horrors from making themselves clear to me. I knew that well enough. But by the time I finally faced where I was, where whatever had thrown me was, I felt the presence of nothing. The door to the observing room slowly crept open. I ran for it. I had to find my mom. I felt the squish of what could only be the body of Sarah or Webb under my foot as I made my way through the observing room. There was a scent of sulfur and iron in the air. It took me a moment to navigate to the door leading back to the hallway, but once there, I saw the plants. They were colorful and vibrant, as if emitting their own light. I didn't have time to consider how it could be, as I began striding down the hallway.
but as I passed each plant that fell behind me, knocked to the floor with the crunch of smashed pottery. And as I ran, it felt like the hallway was getting longer. More plants materialized in front of me with every step. Finally, I turned and grabbed one of the plants before it ejected itself from the sill and threw the aloe down the hallway. Like dropping a penny down a well, I found depth, and I knew I wasn't far. I hadn't stopped running, and I wasn't going to. The whole time I was too concerned about getting back to my mom to even consider the fact that something might have been following me. My foot crunched the broken pottery as I raised my hands to feel the red polka-dotted door. I had to scan to find the handle, but once I did, I wish I hadn't. There was a burst of light, an arctic cold that blasted me off my feet. The hallway was gone. The lab was gone. In its place was a suburban street, overrun with glaciers and ice. It was my hometown, but it was foreign to me. I'd never dreamed something like this before. I stood up, slowly now. There wasn't danger. There couldn't be. When there is no reality, no true secure worlds to grasp onto, nothing can really harm you. I stepped out with my bloodied bare feet and hospital gown into the white. Mom! I shouted down the street, my voice carried like a horn echoing off the homes and abandoned vehicles impenetrably trapped in ice. No answer came as I began to walk down the street, aware yet unfazed by the cold temperatures. And then I saw her. She was standing at the edge of the driveway leading to what appeared to be my house, only it was twisted. The world shifted in geometrical patterns, climbing itself and bending upwards into the absence that should have been the sky. I watched as the chimney stampeded over itself in the form of a million beetles, and my mailbox aged from tin to rust to dust before my eyes. She turned and smiled at me, waving me to come closer. I followed her, down the driveway and into my house. The door opened like a deck of cards being shuffled, but before I could step inside, my mom placed her hand on my chest. She pointed to the grounds to reveal jagged, knife-like bones sticking out of the ground. We had to step carefully around them, slowly and methodically. She led me to the stairs, and we began our slow ascension. "What's happening?" I asked my mom, as she continued to step in silence. The stairs beneath us twisting into a spiral, the walls falling away like paper in the wind. When we finally approached the bedroom hallway, the distortions started to fade away. The walls began to piece themselves together back into a form that made sense. The bones began to sink into the ground, and warmth began to return. It felt wrong. Not incorrect or unnerving. It felt wrong to be in such a mundane place again. My mom looked at me and smiled as she opened her bedroom door, inclining me, without words, to do the same to my own. Parting from her, I did. The walls were lined with all my old posters, my old toys and clothes that I hadn't worn in years. And there in my bedroom, I saw a small boy. A younger version of myself staring at me. He was as curious about me as I was terrified of him. "It's going to sting." I turned around to see my mom behind me, smiling. Only she had a tear in her eye. "Why? Why does it always have to hurt?" She looked at me, wiping away the tears, my younger self watching from our bed, unable to look away. "Because it's not nothing." She took my hand and looked sadly at my younger self. And as I looked, the memory started to dawn on me. I hadn't gone to the hospital with my mom. I wasn't going to college. I went to college. I went with my granddaughter. As the bedroom began to slip away, replacing itself with the whiteness of the frosted, incomprehensible world that projected it before me, I could hear a faint kazoo singing out like a bird early in the morning.
Game day starts before kickoff. Get ready for the big game with help from Menards. Find great deals on sofas and recliners to keep guests comfortable all game long. Score big savings and stock up on game day goodies. Shop a variety of snacks and drinks to keep your party fueled up. Make Menards a part of your game plan. Shop in store or on Menards.com and save big money.
Save